Amen. Let's turn, please, with me in the New Testament to the epistle of 1 John, there toward the end of your Bible in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 3. And let's look at our text in 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. Let me read to you. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. What a post-Thanksgiving message. Amen. You know what I love about God's Word? He practices no tolerance. He goes right to the point. He is blunt. There's no debate and only glaring truth. And God's truth is so wonderful, it always does something. It sets a person absolutely free. And that's what we always want to be, is a free people. Amen. So with all that in mind, before we get into that, let's remember this morning why 1 John was written, because it was written for many reasons. But the main reason is found in chapter 1, verse 4, where it says, "These things I write to you, that your joy may be full." How many people want that to happen this morning? Amen? All right, then we want to take this word into our heart and not resist this word, but listen to it then. We want our joy to be overflowing and abounding. It was also written because of chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "These things I write unto you that you may know that you have eternal life." God wants you to know for a fact that you're born again and that you have everlasting life, not only dwelling in you, but you will experience that in heaven forever and ever with God. It also says in chapter 2, 26, it says, "These things I write so that those do not deceive you," meaning the false teachers who were denying the deity of Jesus Christ, meaning denying that he was man, 100% man, 100% God. Now, these false teachers there in the church at wherever this was, we're not for sure. We were not told of the location, but they were saying it was okay. You know, we're under grace. Don't worry about it. If you're under grace, you can live any way you want to live. Is that true? No, you're a well-taught church. It's not true at all. You can't do that. Matter of fact, these false teachers, they were leading people astray as people, false teachers today lead people astray. It was also written, this epistle was written to us in chapter 2, verse 21, where it says, "I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it." Aren't you glad that you know the truth this morning? That Jesus is the truth, he is the way, and he is the life. He is the only way to the Father, and there is no other name given among men in heaven or under heaven where we must be saved by except the name of Jesus. There's no other way for a person to be saved. No way at all except one. Don't you know how much God loves us? He narrows salvation, being born again, being saved, down to one person. No guesswork. No guesswork. His name is Jesus. Now, with all that being said, he continues there in that verse that I just read, and he says this, "And no lie is of the truth." Listen to me now. The lies of this world, the lies from the wicked one, can never set you free. They will never set you free. Only Jesus can set you free. This morning, I want to talk to you about the only remedy for lawlessness. The only remedy for lawlessness. Now, let's let God's truth penetrate our hearts this morning, beginning in verse 4, where it says this, "Whoever," say that word with me, "whoever." Now, what does that mean? Who is whoever? That means anyone. If you say I'm a believer, if you say I'm an unbeliever, it says, "Whoever commits sin also commits," what's that word? Lawlessness, very important, it's a key word in our text, commits lawlessness, and then he says, and lawlessness is sin. Now, let me read it to you the way that it should actually appear, because we get confused with this because of that one word, commit, okay? Let's look at it again. Whoever, and let's remove the word commit for a minute, whoever lives continually and habitually in sin also lives continually and habitually in lawlessness. Does that make sense? In other words, not an act of sin. Oh, I sinned and oh, God, forgive me. No. This means a person who has an habitual lifestyle of sin. That's what they do. They're sinners. They live in sin. They don't think anything about it. Now listen, the Bible is very, very blunt. It says in verse 8, look at verse 8. It says, he who sins is of the... Ooh, you said it, I didn't. Y'all are in trouble. You're going to get an email. No, he who sins habitually, lives in sin, he who does that, or anyone who just sins, period. Look what it said. He is of the devil. There's something there. Now listen, that is so blunt. Oh, and I'm so thankful that God is blunt. I'm thankful that he tells us the truth, and I'm thankful that he doesn't mince words. The Bible says that sin is something. There's a word there, sin. Now, there are many definitions for sin in the Bible. One of them is found in Romans 14, 23. It says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It also says in James 4, 17, it says, and those who know to do good and do not do it, to him it is sin. It says in 1 John 5, 17, I believe it is, it says, all unrighteousness is sin. But here in our text in verse 4, we have the definition of sin. It says there at the end of verse 4, it says, and sin is lawlessness. Are you following me? Boy, and I look at that and I say, oh Lord, sin. You remember the word sin, you know, in that Greek word hamartia in the Greek. It means simply to miss the mark. But it's more than when we say, well, sin's just missing the mark. That doesn't sound very bad. But it comes from an old English word whenever they would go out and they would take the bow and arrow and they would shoot an arrow through a hoop. And if they made it, of course, they were winners. But if they missed it, they were called sinners. In other words, you missed the mark. But when we say miss the mark, it's more than just shooting an arrow and missing the hoop. It's missing out on the whole scope of your life that God has for you. Are you understanding me? I mean, we miss everything, the whole, everything that God has for us because of sin. So sin is defined here for us. God says, oh, listen, sin is lawlessness. In other words, the absence of law. And we need to call sin for what it is. We need to say sin is lawlessness and it's acting as if there were no law at all. In other words, I'll not be governed. I'll not let anyone tell me how to think, what to do, how to live. I'll do and say and act any way I want. I am governed by nothing. Now that is a lawless individual. Amen? Now let me give you an example of that. Let's say that we have a cafe. Do we have a cafe? Okay, and in that cafe we have food and tables and chairs and they wait on you and clean up the mess after you. Amen? And the food is not only great, it is very inexpensive. So we ask a question. We say, listen, you know what? Since the cafe is booming and everybody is just eating and eating and eating, please, if you're just going to have coffee, do you mind going out to the lobby and have your coffee there since the coffee is free so people that need to sit down and eat can eat? Is that a bad thing? That's a wonderful thing. You mean you have families coming with their kids? They're coming to a Wednesday night service, and you know what? They haven't even had dinner, but they love God. They love the Word, and so they stop and eat, but they can't sit down because you just want to have coffee. You're not taking my table. Sin is lawlessness. We were all born with a rebellious, lawless nature. Isn't that sad? But we were. We were all born that way. We want our own way. Our own way, and we want it all the time. You know, the problem about having our own way is where it leads. It leads to death. God's way leads to life. And so that rebellious, lawless nature that we're born with. See, it's one thing to define sin. We just define what sin is. Sin is lawlessness. But it's another to define or explain what sin and lawlessness actually does. See, it actually robs us. It robs every person on this planet, doesn't it? Sin and lawlessness is such a horrible thing. And you know what's really sad? That every person born in the world and that has ever been born, they were born a slave. Think about it. It's the way it is. They were born a slave to sin, and they were born a slave to death, even though they think themselves absolutely free. Listen, a person that is not born from above, and it's only by grace that we're born from above. Amen. I mean, have you been a Christian so long that you've forgotten what it feels like to be an unbeliever? What it feels like to have no hope? What it feels like to not know what to do? To where you drink yourself silly, or you take so many drugs to just numb yourself, or you run from relationship to relationship and this to this or whatever because you don't know what to do in your life. Do you remember what it was like not to really know what love is? And then you're born again, and unforgiveness and guilt and shame is all gone. Thank God for that. Amen? Oh, listen, but when we came into this world, we weren't free. And you know what? Sin is still the master of the human race, even though Jesus has died for our sins. How did that happen? It happened because of a man named Adam and a woman called Eve. It says in Romans 5:12, therefore, as just one man sinned, or one man committed lawlessness, or through his lawlessness, meaning Adam, sin entered the world. Think about that. Entered the human race. And death through sin, that's how, because he sinned, death came into the world. There was no death before Adam sinned. And it says, and thus death spread to all men because all men sinned. All men committed lawlessness. Every person. So in other words, Adam's sin, when he sinned in the garden, became mankind's sin because we all came from Adam. Does that make sense? We were born after the fall, not before the fall. So the Bible says this. The Bible says, in Adam, all die. Everyone. That's why we die. Somebody said, why did we die? And I said, because we're in Adam. Death is still an enemy, isn't it? But our death is to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. So in Adam, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, in Adam, all die, but in Christ, all are made alive. Thank God we're in Jesus. Now listen, mankind, you know, like when I tell people that don't know the Lord, I said, you can't help that you're fallen. You can't help that you want to sin. And the reason you want to sin is because it's your nature to sin. In other words, nobody ever had to teach you to lie. Your mama didn't sit you down and say, okay, now listen, I want you to learn how to lie. Come on, come on. I want you to learn how to be selfish. Come on. No, that didn't happen, did it? No, not at all. No, see, matter of fact, we were born liars. Ooh, isn't that terrible? Sometimes it's just regular nature to people. They don't even know they're lying and they're lying. And so, no, listen. So man can't help being in Adam because we don't have any control. We don't have a control over our birth. But here's the deal. Man doesn't have to stay in Adam. In other words, you can get out of the Adams family, okay? And that's right, you can get completely out of it. How? You can come into God's family. Oh, how glorious that is. Now, there is a way out of the Adams family. There's a way out of sin. There's a way out of lawlessness. There's a way out of death. How? Verse 5, look at it. And you know, meaning we know something, it's a fact. And you know that he, meaning Jesus, was what? Manifested. That means he appeared the first time. When he was born of a virgin, he was manifested to do something, to take away our sins. Now, what is the definition of sin? Lawlessness. He came to take away our lawlessness, our lawless hearts, and our lawless thinking, and our lawless actions. He came to take away our sins, and in him, in Jesus, there is no lawlessness. There is no sin, and there never has been any sin. He's a spotless Son of God. He paid for our sin. He is our sin offering. Amen? Jesus bore the penalty for our sins. How wonderful is that? He loves us so much, he died on the cross for you and for me, for the whole world. He doesn't want a person to be in sin. He doesn't want a person to be enslaved by sin, bound by sin. Sin destroys. Sin is lawless. It's damnable. And he says, oh, no, I'm taking away that lawlessness. I'm taking away that sin. It says in 1 Peter 2:24, it says that he himself, or who himself, meaning Jesus, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we having died to sin, in other words, after we came to Christ, we're dead to sin, we're dead to lawlessness, might live for righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. Take something away. Oh, Jesus, here's all my filth and all my guilt and all my shame and all the things that I've ever done, known and unknown. Will you take them? He said, let me have them. And you know what it says in the Bible? It says he takes him away. Where does he take him to? I've quoted this verse so many times in my life. You know, Psalm 103:12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us, our sins, our lawlessness from us. Man, listen to me. How far is that? You cannot measure it. You can't measure the east from the west. You can't do it. Does that make sense? They're gone. Oh, Jesus, thank you. In other words, remember what God says in Hebrews 10:17? He says, and their sins, and here it is, and their lawless deeds, that's talking about us, I will remember no more. Well, they're gone. He says, I don't even think about them. They're gone. They're out of my sight. They're in the eternal depths of the sea, hidden from me. Our sins are gone. Now, listen, it's more, though, than Jesus has just bore the penalty of sin when you look at verse 5. It's much, much more than that, Christian. Listen, he not only died for the penalty of our sins, it also means that Jesus died to deliver us from the power of sin, the power of lawlessness. You don't want to sin. You didn't wake up. There's not a Christian in this house this morning, God forbid, that woke up this morning and said, I'm going to go to church today. When church is over, I'm going to go commit adultery. No. Why? Well, just what? That's not even, what? That's foreign to me. That's not in my heart. That's not in me. That's lawlessness. That's sin. It's wrong. Why? Because Jesus lives in your heart. You're born again. You're a child of God. See, we have been delivered from the power of sin. We don't want to get involved in that junk. The Bible says in Romans 6:17, listen to what it says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, were, past tense, not anymore, used to be, I used to be, yet you obeyed from the heart of the form of doctrine to which you were delivered, meaning you heard the good news, you received Christ into your heart. And having been, past tense, and having been set free from sin, from lawlessness, you became slaves. But listen now, slaves of righteousness. You say, Lord, I'm a slave. I just want to do right. You leave the house, I'm a slave. I just want to do right. I want to please you. Why? Jesus lives in your heart. You're born again. You're a new creation. He goes on and he says, listen, he says, you have been delivered from lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. He says, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. Don't say we have no power over sin. Doesn't mean that we don't get in trouble sometimes, but don't say we don't have any power over it. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. Amen? Absolutely. Now listen, let no one deceive you in this anemic generation that we live in. We live in a weak time, a weak generation. And you know, there is no other answer, no other remedy for a lawless heart other than Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just say, you know what, that education is going to be the cure for lawlessness. Wouldn't that be wonderful? In other words, okay, you got a lawless heart. Okay, you little liar, come here. A little cheat. Backslider. Come here. You don't want to talk to you right now. And you know what, you're going to take a test. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to open a book and teach you. And you're never going to have a lawless heart again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But it doesn't work that way. But people teach that today. Oh, we're going to correct you. We're going to reform you. No. Can't be reformed. You have to be new. You need to be a new creation. No, listen, you know, just put a man in a classroom, you know. Today, we're going to learn how not to lie. Going to remove it forever. You just get it out of your system. Today, we're going to learn how to not to steal. And don't miss this afternoon because Judge Judy is going to close with no more murder. No, it doesn't work that way, right? And whatever you do, don't miss next semester because Hugh Hefner is going to teach us how to control sexual appetites. No, it doesn't work that way. Look at our educational system today. They're trying to, we've got everything down. No, you know what you do? You pass out condoms to the kids in school. And that should stop. You won't even give our child an aspirin without parents' permission, but you'll pass out condoms. What's wrong with us? And I'll tell you what it is. It's called lawlessness. It's called the foolishness of this world. The wisdom of the world is foolishness. Education is not going to help anybody. Well, Bill, how about psychology? Let's get, you know, a little psychobabble in there, you know, for a minute. Now, if you're a psychologist, God bless you. I'm not trying to beat you up, but listen to me. You know what? If we could cure people by psychology, I'd send everyone to Dr. Phil. You know, go over there and he's going to straighten you out. He's a Southern Baptist. He'll be, you know what I mean? No, listen, there's a therapist on every corner and there's more people in therapy today than ever before. Matter of fact, you want my therapist number? Huh? No, listen. No, the mind is messed up because it's lawless. Listen to what it says. The Bible tells us the truth, Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So education can't overcome lawless. Psychology? How about the government? How about legislation? Can it do that? I mean, just think, we're going to pass a law. You drive drunk, you go to jail. In other words, don't drink and drive. We just passed that law. It means you can't do it, okay? Wouldn't it be wonderful if that was the truth? In other words, wow, I can't do it now because they passed that law and it's not, and there's just nothing in me but wants to drive drunk. And matter of fact, now that they told me not to text, I'm not going to do that either. It doesn't work that way, does it? No, our government, our legislative branch, what do? They pass laws to legalize sin. Come on. And we look at all these things. No, man is so lawless. Listen, they can't even drive the speed limit. Now, I know all of you do, don't you? You know what you do? If it's 65, you bump it up just, maybe not to 70, but right below 60, you know, 69 and a half. You know what I'm saying? Then the moment you see a police officer, you nearly have the big one. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I hope he didn't get me because I was 3 miles over the speed limit. Why? Lawless heart. That old nature trying to come up and rule. Do you think the old man, we are to reckon him dead, but do you think he's dead? No, he's there. We're to reckon him dead. Yes, it's a fact. God has rendered him the body of flesh, which is the control panel for our sin, inoperative. But you got to keep him down. You feed him, I promise you, he's going to come and reign up in your heart. You can't feed the old man. He's vicious. He wants to control you, control your life. No, uh-uh. Now listen, man's only hope is to abide in another, in the power of another. Look at verse 6. Whoever abides, in other words, lives in union with, is born again, draws nourishment, strength from, whoever abides in him, meaning Jesus, look what it says, does not sin. Now let's just stop right there. Did you hear what that just said? If you're in him, abiding in him, nourished through him, drawing strength from him, living through him, you don't sin. Does that mean that a person can actually be sinless? Does that mean that a person can actually achieve sinless perfection? No, that is a false doctrine that's even taught today. I met a person one time, I said something about needing to repent. And he says, I have nothing to repent from. I said, what, you don't? He said, I don't sin, I've never sinned. I said, well, you just did. The Bible says a perfect man falls 7 times a day. The Bible says if you say you have no sin, you're calling God a liar. It says, if any man sin, thank God we have an advocate. So we don't want to sin, but there's no such thing as sinless perfection. We are in the perfect one, though. So when we look at this and it says, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. That means seen him and known means they're not born again. There's no personal relationship there at all. They're not born from above. So what is it saying here? It's saying, number one, that living in a life of habitual sin, because when it says he who does not sin, that is present continuous tense in the Greek, meaning you don't live a life of sin if you're a believer. That's not your lifestyle. You may sin sometimes. God forbid, we don't want to, but we blow it. But the fact of the matter is we run to the throne of grace, say, Lord, and we know it immediately and we repent. And we say, oh, God, help me. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I didn't mean that angry remark or the thing that I said. Oh, God, please, I'm sorry. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin because you repent, because you know you're wrong. And you acknowledge that because you don't have a lawless heart if you're in Christ. And so here, this abiding in him. So no one who abides in Christ keeps on sinning as a habitual, ongoing lifestyle. In other words, you don't live like the world. You live like Christ now. Now, look at verse 7. It says, little children, let no one deceive you. And that means the devil. That means the world. That means false teaching. Let no one deceive you. He who has an habitual lifestyle of righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. He who sins, in other words, that lifestyle of lawlessness, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested or appeared that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, it says, he who sins is of the devil. Let us be bold Christians and never water that down. Don't try to soften these words. You know, what does it mean when it says he who sins is of the devil? The devil means the accuser. That's what devil means, the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser. He's always accusing you. You know, what does it mean? Well, it means, first of all, he who sins of the devil, it means, first of all, to live like the devil. Well, what does that mean? It means to live independent from God. I don't want anything to do with you. And it means that you live in opposition to God. You don't want anything from God. You don't like God. You want to just get away from me. He who sins is of the devil. It also means when a person sins, it means that they take on the character of the devil himself. They take on his character, his attitude. In other words, they take on a lawless attitude because sin is lawlessness, and he is the lawless one. Does that make sense? Now, it also means that you want to run your own life. You want to do exactly as you please and whenever you please. And the Bible says before we came to the Lord, listen to what we were. It says in Ephesians 2:2, it says the spirit, that means the devil, the spirit, that fallen angel who now works in the sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience implies a relationship. Don't be deceived. Satan governs the person who lives his life in sin. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:17, give no opportunity for the devil, for the wicked one. Don't open the door for him, because I tell you, he will come into your life. Now look at verse 8 again. He who sins, in other words, that lifestyle of sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So in this verse alone, you have, first of all, the devil's sin and the devil's work, and they are different, and it's important that you see that. There's two different things right here. I'm going to ask you a question, same thing I did with the early service. Did God create the devil? No, he did not. God didn't create the devil. God created what we believe to be a person called Lucifer, the day star, the star of the morning, or whatever you want to, whatever the Hebrew word would be there. And you'll find that in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, if you want to read about it later. Matter of fact, there that what you're going to find is most scholars, and I do agree with those scholars, that this is talking about the devil, his fall from heaven. He wasn't called the devil there. He led praise and worship evidently before the throne of God. And you'll find there in Isaiah 14, verse 12 and following and so forth, you'll find the five I wills of Lucifer. It says there in heaven, when he was in heaven, let me just read. It says in verse 12, it says, oh, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, here he is, here's what he says. Number one, he says, I will ascend to heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Number four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Number five, I will be like the Most High. And God says in verse 15, you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest depths of the pit. Now, I believe that has to do with Lucifer, who was, the Bible, if you read it all out, who was perfect in wisdom. And he fell. Sin first occurred in heaven. He wanted to exalt himself. In other words, he was and became, of his own choosing, he became lawless. Can I ask you a question? Do you have free will? A lot of people say yes, and some of you may say no. Free will, you think people in heaven, you know, listen, the angels in heaven, they have free will. Or a third of them would not have followed Lucifer. Do you understand? They fell to the earth. Where do you think the demons came from? They're fallen angels. God gave Adam and Eve free will. Go back to the garden. Study it out very carefully. God says, here it is, Adam, Eve, everything in the garden. It's all for you, every bit of it. Except one thing. Don't eat of that one tree. Because the day that you eat of this tree, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, the day that you eat of it, ye shall surely die. Amen? Well, you know what? God gave them a choice. Said, okay, everything is yours except one thing. I'm going to ask you a question. Where did the devil hang out? Did the devil hang out at the tree of life? No. Where did he hang out at? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? It was the one thing that God said, don't touch. Don't even look. Just leave it alone. Don't eat of it. Well, that, you know, that's what Satan does. He hangs out at the place that we're not supposed to be at. And that's when we go to that place where we're not supposed to be at, that's where the door is open for him to tempt us. Are you listening to me? Well, we got to be smart. We got to be wise, loved one. Listen, the devil sinned from the beginning, from the very beginning. So we look at that and we see that was the devil's sin. And when it says he sinned from the beginning, it means that he is not only the source of all sin, he is the originator of all sin. All sin, every sin, the white lie, if you will, all sin is satanic in nature. And the devil's whole existence is one of solid, pure sin, if you will. And he has never ceased to sin. He loves sin. He adores sin. And sin is his only satisfaction. He who sins is of the devil. You remember when the religious rulers came to Jesus and they were questioning him and so forth, and they were actually coming, they wanted to kill him. And you know what Jesus told them? He said, you know what? Your word, you know, doesn't abide in you at all. He says, if it did, you would love me, but it doesn't. And he, you know what he said in John 8:44? Jesus said this. He said, you are of your father, the devil. Boy, that's the way to build a church, amen? You're of your father, the devil. And listen to what he says. And Jesus said, and the desires of your father, meaning the devil, you want to do. In other words, you want to kill me. You know, you want to kill me. You love to do the things that the devil loves to do. Now, why? Here it comes. He was, in John 8:44, it says, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. A murderer from the beginning? What beginning? Not Cain and Abel. He was a murderer where? In the garden. He was a murderer of all mankind. In other words, the entire human race, because of Adam's sin and Eve, when they sinned, they did what the devil said to do. They partook of the fruit. Listen to me. He brought spiritual death. The devil brought physical death and also eternal death, which is separation from God forever and ever and ever. He did that in the garden. He was a murderer from the beginning. He loves to maim. He loves to destroy. It says, and listen to this, and he does not stand in the truth. That literally means he did not continue to stand in the truth, which meant he used to stand in the truth. Does that make sense? And then he fell. Now listen to what it says as I read. He says, he did not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him, none at all in the devil. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is the father of all liars, and not only that, all falsehood, every lie ever told anywhere on this earth. Listen to me now. Anywhere, he is the father of it. All lies owe their existence to the devil. That's why this lie here brought death. Remember, he said, oh, you're not going to die. You'll surely not die. May I say something to you? God hates lies because it destroyed the human race. You understand me? He hates lies. Don't lie. Tell the truth or don't say a word. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Just do what Jesus said. Just speak the truth and speak the truth always in love. You know, when you start thinking about the devil and all that he's done, you know, the Bible is very clear. Jesus told us that. He said, you know, we have wheat and we have tares. We're wheat. We belong to God. Amen. But you know what Jesus said? The tares. And you know, a tare can look just like a wheat, but it's not a wheat at all. They can act like a wheat, look like wheat, smell like wheat, but they're poisonous. The Bible says, Jesus said, the tares, they are of the wicked one. They're sons of the wicked one. Listen now. The only remedy for a lawless heart, the only way not to be a tare, the only way to come into the kingdom, the only way to have sin removed is Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no other way. He came not only to take away our sin, he came to destroy, though, the power of the devil. Amen? In other words, the works of the devil. It says, look at it, for this purpose, the Son of God, Jesus, what did he do? He was manifested. He appeared. He came to this earth that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, we know what the sin of the devil is. Now, this is the works of the devil. And the key word is destroy. That word literally means to take a chain off or to unbind or to loose a person, to loose a thing. He came to untie and unloose the works of the wicked one, the works of the devil. You remember in John 11 about Lazarus, when Lazarus died and they buried him and Jesus came and they'd put him in the tomb for about 3-4 days or whatever, and the stone was rolled in front, and Jesus came and said, come forth to Lazarus. He said, roll that rock away. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, there he is. He's all wrapped in bandages and grave clothes, and he starts hopping. He comes out, and what does Jesus say? He says, loose him. Same word right here, destroy, untie him, loose him, and let him go. Listen to me very carefully. That's what God has done to you, Christian. That's what he has done to me. He's taken off our filthy grave clothes that are stinking of death. Amen? Death is removed. Say, get the smell of death off Lazarus. Get the smell of death off of a Christian. You're not going to die. You're going to live forever. I've already died your death for you. You're going to be with me forever and ever and ever. And I look at that and say, oh, God, thank you, thank you that you've loosed me. Those grave clothes, that old man, he's dead, and I reckon him dead, and I'm no longer bound by the devil. I'm no longer bound by a lawless heart. I am no longer bound by death. Why? My chains have been removed. Why? Jesus Christ has set me free, and therefore if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, Jesus said in John 8:36. He is our Lord. Now listen, what are the works of the devil? Jesus told us in John 10:10. He says, for the thief, number one, he's a thief, for the thief comes to do something. He comes to kill. He comes to steal. And he comes to destroy. Those three things. Listen to me. He hates you. He hates this world. He hates Baptist. He hates Calvary Chapel. He hates Muslims. He hates the Baha'i Faith. He hates everybody. He hates everyone. He doesn't like any person. He is sin. He is the lawless one. Do you understand? He looks through eyes of hate. I don't mean hate. I mean 100% hate. There's not an ounce of mercy in the devil. Not an ounce. See, he gets you down. But when he gets you down, there's no mercy. He wants to keep shoving you down. He wants you to keep suffering. He wants to do anything he can to harm you, to hurt you. He rejoices in that. He gets his satisfaction out of that. He is the devil. He's the Abaddon. He's the destroyer who's defeated. Amen? I'm not trying to bring any glory to him, but I'm letting you know who he is. The works of the devil. He's a thief, steal, kill, destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life, real life. My kind of life, my kind of living, my kind of power, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus comes to save and to give life. The Satan comes to kill and destroy. Jesus is a giver of life. Satan is a taker of life. That's why Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 2 where it says, and he destroyed him who had the power over death. That is the devil. When I look at this and I say, oh Lord, you're so good. The works of the devil, how he lives to tempt us. He wants to tear every family apart. He wants to ruin a person's life. He wants to steal a person's mind. He wants to pervert truth, and he'll even use truth to make sure he can get a lie alongside of it. He appears as an angel of light, or actually he transforms himself into an angel of light, and that word transform means he disguises himself. He masquerades as an angel of light, but it's not true light. It's a lie. He's a liar. And I look and I say, oh Lord, he's the perverter of all love, perverter of sex. He's wicked. He is the originator and origin of all sin. He hates marriage. He hates marriage. And I'm going to say something to you. Now listen to me. He even hates same-sex marriage, even though he rejoices that it's in our nation. You listen to me. He hates because he hates everyone. He wants to keep a person bound. You know what he loves to do? It says in 1 John 5:19, he says, for we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. The whole world lies in the arms, the cradle of the wicked one. You know what he wants to do? The world means people. He wants to keep lost people. He wants to rock them and rock them and say, oh, you don't need the Lord. You don't need Jesus. Oh, it's going to be okay. Just keep walking in lawlessness and live your own life and be as selfish as you want. And, you know, just live however you want. You know, sleep with whoever you want. Do whatever you want to do. It's okay. Because when finally I have you asleep and you close your eyes in death, you're mine forever and you'll never have Christ. He's a deceiver and he's a liar. And we need to wake up and we need to know who we are against. Listen, in Christ, his works have been destroyed. He's still here, but they have been rendered inoperative. Listen, the devil has been defeated. He's defeated. The Christian always fights from a point of victory. The devil always fights from a point of defeat. That's why you need to put on the whole armor of God. That's why whenever those thoughts start coming in your mind, you go, why did I think that? Where did that come from? You need to say, that ain't me. I don't have a lawless heart. I don't have a lawless mind. My mind's being renewed to the Word of God. I don't think like that. Where did that come from? Well, where do you think it came from? The old man? And who loves the old man? The devil. He wants to resurrect him. No, you need to do what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world. They're not of the flesh. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strong stones. And you pull down that thing out of your mind. Say, no, that's not from my Lord. No, I don't have a lawless mind. I don't have a lawless heart. And I don't have a lawless walk. Oh, I may trip up sometimes. But no, I'm living for him. I'm serving Jesus, the one who saved me. He's not going to touch me. I'm going to do what the Bible says. And like in Luke 10:19, you've given me all authority over the enemy. All authority. I'm going to tread on scorpions. Amen. I'm going to walk on the serpent. I am not going to let him walk all over me. Listen to me, Christian. You're either overcoming or you're being overcome in this life. And the only way to overcome is being in the overcomer, the one who's overcome this world. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. The Bible says in 1 John 5:18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. In other words, live that habitual lifestyle of sin, that lawlessness. Oh, no, that's not us. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, here it is, and the wicked one does not touch him. Listen, not get a hold of you, not get a grasp on you, not even touch you, not even a touch, not even a graze. Keep your hands off of me. I'm not one of your lawless ones. I'm the church of the living God, and I'm forever triumphant. Amen. And I look and he says in verse 9, whoever has been born of God, oh, that's us, whoever has been born again, that new creation in Christ, does not sin. Yes, sometimes we blow it, but we don't live in an habitual lifestyle of sin. Why? Here it is. For his seed, say that next word with me, remains. Oh, say it again. Remains. Underline that word. His seed remains in me or in him, meaning that new nature, meaning God in me, meaning I'm a partaker of his divine nature now. He's in me, for he cannot sin. Why? Because he's been born of God. Now listen, a true believer, listen, they practice a lifestyle of righteousness. Amen. Come on. They don't want to sin. They don't want to sin at all. But a counterfeit, well, they can't help but sin. They live a life of sin. That's all they do is practice lawlessness. Listen, true salvation means true transformation. When a person comes to the Lord, man, you're changing. And you know what? Remember, justification is a one-time act, just as if you'd never sinned. That's the day you come to the Lord. But transformation is an ongoing process. We're not all there yet. You understand? From glory to glory. Listen, God's nature is in us. And God's nature cannot sin or live in habitual sin. What does that mean? It means this. If you are a Christian and you're living in sin right now, you are so uncomfortable and you're so uncomfortable listening to me that you're squirming in your seat. You know you're wrong. It hurts you to live in sin. It hurts you in your heart. You know it does. You can't go and be there in that bed with another woman at night and your eyes open up and you're hurting. Because you know it is wrong and you know that you're displeased in God's eyes and you know that it's hurting you. It's breaking you. Why? God's nature is in you. Are you listening to me? A Christian may go to the pig pen, but you can't stay in the pig pen because you're not a pig. You're a believer. You got to get out of it. You have to come to yourself and say, what am I doing? Why am I living like this? Oh God, I want to come home. And what does God do? He says, I'm waiting on you, man, because I live in you. You're dragging me through the mud. I'm living in you. Get up. Come home to me right now. Let me put that robe of righteousness on you. Let me smother you with kisses. Let me put the ring back on your hand, the sandals back on your feet. Let me say to you, oh, you were dead, but you're not anymore. You're alive. You've come home. You've come back. Let's have a party. Amen. That's what it's about. You can't stay there. Why? You don't have a lawless heart. You can't live in that filth. You can't do it. His seed remains in you. Oh, thank God for that. Thank God that his seed. It says in 1 Peter 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. It'll never decay. Nothing can stop it. It's alive. It's Jesus in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Now listen, God is in you if you're born again. You're not a lawless believer. There's no such thing as a lawless believer. Now, you may get into trouble, but you don't have a lawless heart. Your heart's been changed. And not only that, listen to me now. God, that seed remains in you. God is doing something in your life. Amen? Listen to what Paul told the church at Philippi. And I'm hurrying. I'm not going to hurry. You need to burn off some of those calories from Thanksgiving by listening to me. Philippians 2:12, Paul told the church at Philippi, he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, listen to what it says now, but now much more in my absence. Paul says, I'm not there, but here's what I want you to do. Work out your own salvation. Work out, not work for. Work out your own salvation. And then he tells you how to do it with fear and trembling. And then he tells you why you're to do it with fear and trembling. He says, because it is God who works in you. Did you catch that? God who works in you both to will and do his good pleasure. Now, the word work in those scriptures used twice. Work out and then God is working. Two different words in the Greek. When it says to work out, not working, the Philippians were already saved, loved one. Paul says, work out what God is doing in you. In other words, live right now. Live right now. Live out what you already have. God in you. Amen? Because He's in you, working in you to bring about His will and His purpose in your life. In other words, they were moving forward like we're moving forward in the power of another. Listen, it's not by our self-effort. It is certainly not by our ability. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Amen? That's the power that we have. That's why we don't have a lawless heart. See, we really are new creations in Christ. Old things really have passed away. Behold, all things are really new again. And then He says something. He says in verse 10, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Now listen very carefully. This word just said failure to practice righteousness and failure to love your brother is not of God, but is of the devil. This is one of the most incredible verses in the Bible. Listen to me now. There are only two families on this planet. I know that you hear people, politicians and people on TV or whatever, you know, we're all children of God. No, we're not. You're either in Adam and in Adam all die, and Adam sold out to the wicked one, or you're going to be in Christ and in Christ all are made alive. There are only two families on earth. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. I know that's not popular, and I dare not soften that word one iota. It is the Word of God. There is no middle ground. God says, no, not so. Children of the devil, children of God. That is it. And it says, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Regardless if they sit in church, regardless if they've been baptized, regardless if they're a member someplace and they haven't been there in 10 years, you understand? No. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor he who does not love his brother. They're not of God. Listen to me. A person can only manifest two characters, either the character of God or the character of the devil, no matter how good, wonderful, kind, giving they are. Do you understand me? I didn't write this. God wrote this. Now listen, I know that Christians aren't perfect because I'm one of them, okay? I know that Christians aren't perfect. Wouldn't it be wonderful that we were? But thank God we're in the perfect one. But listen to me. You know what we're like? We're all under construction, each and every one of us. You know, we're like Loop 820, okay? Out here right now. I mean, everything is just torn to pieces. It looks horrible. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, oh, all these delays and all this detours and all this waiting sometimes. And then all of a sudden, the freeway is open. And it's, oh, thank you, Lord. And we see all this progress along the way. And we go, gosh, how are they building that? Look at that. It's going to be a way up in the air and all those things. And then one day, 820 is going to be completed. And we're going to go, hallelujah. Okay, one day you're going to be completed. Yes, we are complete in Him now. That is our position in Christ. But one day, when you see Him as He is, ye shall be like Him. Amen. In other words, it's over with. It's complete. And then you're going to be like Him, and you're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. But right now, we're under construction. Sometimes we sin. We don't want to sin. We don't want to get mad. We don't want to do those things, but we do. But let me tell you something. You immediately know you've done wrong, and you run to the Lord with it. You don't just keep doing it. No. When a Christian sins, do you know that really you're concealing who you really are? You're hiding who you are instead of manifesting who you truly are. You're a child of God. You're filled with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have the fairest of 10,000s living in your heart. Your mind is being renewed to the Word of God. You're walking in the power and the anointing of God. You're being led by the Spirit of God. You have a plan and a purpose that comes from God. You're filled with His Spirit. Oh, His Spirit bears witness with your spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We are sons and daughters of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're not lawless. A Christian does not practice an habitual, continual, lawless lifestyle. All sin is lawlessness. Those who are born from above, in verse 10, says they manifest two things, which actually takes us into our next text next week. they manifest two things: a lifestyle of righteousness and the love for each other. Love never fails. Somebody asked me, what's the vision of church? I said, love never fails. Is that it? And I said, well, faith worketh by love. I said, how's that one? Well, that's good. It says that love fulfills the law. Well, that's not bad either. And it says, if you don't have love, you can give your body to be burned. You know what I mean? Give everything you have to the poor. You can know all mysteries, have all knowledge. But if you have not love, you're absolutely nothing. They said, what a vision. Amen. Love never fails. See, the lifestyle of righteousness and then that love, they go together. You can't change it. Loved one, listen to me now. You know, I'm already praying for our New Year's service, you know, saying, Lord, what do you want? And I'm already praying fervently about that for this next year, 2013. You know, when we close this morning and we look at this scripture, I want to say something to you. We're living in a time right now where the church is not walking in love. Now, I love you. I love you with all my heart. Listen to me. We're a stiff-necked bunch. And this generation is not going to get any better. And the only way the church is going to change is to do what God says and take God's warning and be able to walk in His power. See, God says, you've got to get this now. He said, if you don't have a lifestyle of righteousness, if you don't love your brother, you're not a child of God. Did you hear what He just said? You better put that into your hearts now. Listen to me. Well, Bill, I laid hands on the sick and they recover. Okay, well, great. I know a lot of people that are meaner than hell that lay hands on the sick and they recover. Are you listening to me? Beating up one another, saying horrible things about one another. That's sin. That's lawlessness. It's from hell. It's from the devil. Jesus told us, He gave us a warning in Matthew 24:12. Jesus told us, He said this, because lawlessness will abound. What is lawlessness? Sin. Sin is lawlessness. Jesus said, because it's going to happen in the last days. We're in the last days because lawlessness will abound. It's going to be, sin is going to be everywhere. It's going to be rampant. Here's what He said. He said, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many, not few, the majority, the love of many, the majority of the church, the majority of the professing church, because that word love there can only be used for the church. It's agape. It's not the other Greek words for love. It's not the words that unbelievers use. It's a word Christians use and God uses. For the love of many, the majority in the church, the professing church, will grow cold. We're living in that time right now. A time of phony love and sissy love and not real love. Bill, you're too hard. I'm not hard. I'm telling you the truth. We need to love one another fervently. And that word fervently means straining every muscle, reaching out to one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love doesn't broadcast the sins of others. Love weeps over the sins of others. We need to be full and you want to be baptized. Baptize me, Lord. Baptize me with your love. It says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, shed abroad, poured out abundantly in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's been given to us, Romans 5:5. Wake up right now. And we need to say, oh Lord, that is the true litmus test of any believer. Do I love my brother? Do I love my sister? I can't even find someone to pick up a woman that can't even drive to church. Don't put that guilt on me. I'm not. Think about it. We have a woman that needs a ride to the church. And how many times do we announce things that never happens? It hurts me. It breaks my heart. It's wrong. What are we? Are we a bunch of phonies? Are we a bunch of sissies? Bill, did you not have a happy Thanksgiving? No, I'm... Listen, we've got to move forward in 2013, loved one. I'm not going to play church. I'm not going to play Christian. I'm not going to do it. I would rather go to China. I'd rather go overseas and be a missionary. We should be the hungriest people on this planet for God's word. We have a sanctuary to build. We have tons of people that are sons of the devil in our city, and we're not saving them. We've grown lazy. I love you, but I love Him more. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want anyone to go to hell. And until our hearts are broken again, for those that are shackled by the devil and living in bondage, don't you remember the bondage that you were in? The darkness and the loneliness and the bitterness? When hate filled your heart? When you were not able to forgive those who hurt you and maybe destroyed your life? God help the church. God set us on fire again. Let us really believe what the Word of God says. I don't know who you are this morning, but listen to me very carefully. You need to ask yourself right now, whose child am I? Am I a child of God or am I a child of the devil? Oh, those are hard words, I know. But you know, the fact of the matter is that you only have two choices. And let me tell you something. If you're a child of the devil, I love you. I love you. I want you to come to Christ. But listen to me now. You that are listening live right now online, listen to me. The devil is the father of all lies. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy everything you have, your children, your loved one, all of it. You know what his first recorded words, the devil's first recorded words that we know of? You ready? Has God indeed said? The first thing he does is challenge God's word to bring doubt. Did God really say that? Eve, did God really say that? Don't eat of that tree. Did he really say that? That you're going to die? Come on, Eve. Let me tell you what, if you're not born again, listen to me. Listen to me right now. He's a liar. The devil is a liar. He wants to destroy you. You have the ability right now to say, you know what, Jesus? I got these chains on me. You said, that I just heard it. You said that you came to destroy, unloose, unbind, destroy the works of the devil. I want you to destroy them off of my life. Father, we thank you that you're here in our midst. And Lord, I know not the heart of anyone, but I know, Lord, that if they're not saved, that, oh God, I know you want to save them right now in this sanctuary. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, listen to me. If you don't know if you're saved or not, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, who was born to take them away, and who is coming again, would you come to Christ? Would you ask him right now to come into your heart? Would you ask him to take off the shackles, to loose, to unbind the works of the devil off of your life? You say, Bill, how do I do that? By simply praying this prayer with me right now. Church, pray with me. Father, I am a sinner. I don't want to be lawless anymore. I don't want these chains on me. I want to be loosed. I want to be set free. I want to be a child of God. And the only remedy is Jesus Christ. So right now, I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead. You promised if I would confess that and really believe it, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. I am a child of God. I have been loosed. I am free. In Jesus' name, amen.